Welcome. This is Way for Us, evolving your on-call as your company grows. The agenda for the talk will be a quick introduction about myself, an overview of Datadog to set the stage. Then we will go into some observations about the journey from a startup to a large company while trying to keep in mind the perspective of an on-call team. We'll discover some tips and tricks I have come across along the way to ensure your on-call team is not forgotten. Finally, we'll end with some takeaways, and they perhaps seem rather obvious, but are worth calling out. So first, a quick history about myself. Hi, I'm Chris Howard. I'm currently the director of SRE at Datadog. Previously, I worked at Wireless Generation, which was acquired by Amplify. After Amplify, I joined a startup known as Mortar Data. Mortar Data was acquired by Datadog. Through my career, I've been a member of a small startup on-call team to an on-call team responsible for a company that had over 800 employees. The first LisaConf I attended was in 2008 at San Diego. So before continuing, I would like to say a huge thank you to the Lisa community. You've been instrumental to my growth and provided some great memories along the way. So I'd like you to join me in a round of applause for all the staff, presenters, and attendees, both past and present. Let's do a quick overview of what Datadog does for some context. I promise you this won't be a sales pitch. I don't like doing those. If you want to know more about the product, come talk to me after the talk. So Datadog is a SaaS-based infrastructure and application monitoring product. We have open source agent with over 200 integrations and a thriving community to keep that growing. We collect time series data for both metrics and events, and we support distributed application tracing, commonly known as APM. Currently, we process trillions of data points per day, and that's growing at a rapid pace. While ingesting all this data, we provide intelligent and actionable alerting, as well as insightful dashboards that help teams have meaningful discussions around their operational data. So let's start by taking a look at the early startup days. I should say that the next few slides are general observations, and they're not really specific to any employer. It's sort of over the course of my history. So while it likely does not feel like it, in the early days, you're finding your footing. Things are quite easy from the on-call perspective. Pretty much everybody's on call, as well as wearing many hats. It is trivial for any one human to reason about the entire system. You're just building it. Kind of everybody knows what it is. You likely have little or no customers, so there's not many expectations for going down. The product team, you're pretty much rushing towards your MVP. Security, what's that? No customers, there's nothing worth securing. You try lots of things, and you see what sticks. So maybe you make some database decisions. Was that a good one? I don't know. We'll figure it out later. We're just building stuff. During the growth startup years, your directors and possibly founders will be on call. You could still reason about the entire system, but things are getting harder. You're gaining that first critical trust from customers in the market, and the product is all about shipping new features to gain new customers. Security might come up, but in reality, maybe next sprint. Prior shortcuts worked, so let's take some more. Don't worry, we'll hire someone to fix it later. That's what interns are for, right? The hypergrowth years see team leads and individuals going on call. You start talking about and trying dedicated on SRE teams that seems to work elsewhere, maybe it'll work here. Reasoning about the entire system starts to take significant effort. Lots of customers are using you, and now you have some very demanding large ones. They're talking about SLAs, SLIs, things are getting real. The product focus is on new features, maybe some new categories entirely, and you start to do the performance fixes and tech debt rewrites. You need to start paying those things down. Security, all of a sudden, starts to become important. You hire a team, they come in, that secure all the things. Culturally, this is a big shift. and your on-call team now has a new thing to worry about. What was typically easy and open, you're starting to get more locked down. And your tech debt, you start looking at, you know, there's new tools coming out, lots of nice things that you would like to try and use. We start getting into the feel of like, maybe we can't try that. You know, this whole security thing is making us spend a lot of time on that instead. So you start shying away from new tools. The enterprise chasing years, your call team is crushed. Dedicated SRE teams are in place. You might have coverages for some services and some other services, maybe not. And things are getting pushed out to teams. So individual contributors are taking more and more responsibility for running things. Now it's nearly impossible to reason about the entire system. You have so many things running. Your team size is so large. There's so many services. One person cannot contain the state of the world. Now you have a large number of customers, and many of them are starting to put you in their critical path. So any outages are now officially a real, real big deal. The product focus, new features, maybe you're acquiring companies and having to roll them in. And security, now you're in the compliance and audit phase. You know, everything's becoming a checkbox. Things are getting quite challenging. And your on-call team starts to really feel the pressure of getting things done, doing things fast, while still being secure. Your tech debt, maybe you're starting to do the greenfield rewrites of things, throw things out, new things, all the runbooks, everything you knew about services was out the window, here's a new thing, figure that all out. Performance engineering starts to become a thing. Large services start degrading in weird and new unique ways as you have an influx of more data. And now cost saving starts to become a big focus. The bean counters are wondering, you know, why are you throwing more instances at it? Can't you actually be smarter about it? Can't just throw machines at the problem anymore. So, during this growth, you know, what's going on with your on-call teams? How are they doing? What are they doing? It could sort of feel like you're lost puppies. Do they even know you exist anymore? The demands are large. So what do you do as a manager running an on-call team or as a member of an on-call team in a company that's facing this rapid growth? One thing we do, you know, you measure everything about your apps. Why not measure everything about your on-call team? Something that I put in place is it's a spreadsheet. You know, you start getting spreadsheet heavy at some point. But you look at all of your alerting data, and you extract it and break it out and get what is the number of alerts per hour, per day, and you sort of figure out where are the pain points. Are we doing death by a thousand cuts? Are we getting slammed by a big outage that has a lot of alerts and a cascading issue that we need to be better about? You really need to start to get visibility on, you know, what your alert data is saying about what the health of your company is. So this is a quick example. You know, you could use the conditional formatting, set your thresholds of, you know, over this value, I think it's bad. You start to see hotspots, and then you could drill back down into your fine-grained alerting data and figure out, is there a certain service that, you know, this week is having a rough time, or are things looking bad across the board? And then, most importantly, what does it look like for your on-call team? If you're a member of this on-call team, and you're pretty much not getting more than an hour of uninterrupted high-priority paging, that's not really a great spot to be in. So how do you fix the on-call team? Like, what do you adjust? Do you change your shift rotations? Do you add more people? You take a service out of the core on-call rotation and push it back out to teams? Those are all discussions that you need to have, and those can all be very hard discussions to have, and so having data and numbers to back up those discussions we found to be really powerful. Another thing you could start looking at is, you know, flappy alerts. Here's a breakdown, similar concept, but take a look at all the alerts that resolve themselves in 60 seconds. Why are you even alerting on some of these if they, you know, can a human even do something in those 60 seconds? should it really be a high priority alert? So that lets you sort of see a breakout of where things are happening. Could take that a step further and go to 300 seconds. You know, this might start to cover your time to action, time to recover for some of these. So really just finding unique ways to take your alert data and chop it up and review it as a group. You also could start to do things like see trends of like hours by day. You know, there it is. It's not very shocking. The 5 p.m. deploy and dash is a real thing. The numbers show it. Then you could see which days of the week. You know, I thought it would be Friday, but for some reason Tuesday's that. You know, so this was over a 1 month chunk. You could do it over whatever span makes sense. But here we're looking at a month, and so for that month, Tuesdays was the day that, you know, had rough time. So you really need to start to get, you know, people will have a feel for some of these things, but it's easier to have the numbers and actually talk about it with specifics, and then take a scientific approach of, you know, we're going to change these things. Let's measure and see, are we actually making a difference? Then you could also do things like look at your trends. You know, the number of hours without a high priority page, is that on the rise? Is it on the decline? Why is it going in that direction? What should we be doing to change that direction? What are the biggest wins to be made? What are the easiest wins to be made? All of those questions start to get easier when you have the data to back it up and you analyze it. So one of the tricks to doing this, though, is you have to make sure your alert data is parsable. If you use naming conventions up front, this is pretty easy. But if you don't, you get into that trap of like, let's just sprinkle some regex on it. And you know, based on this Stack Overflow screenshot, you kind of know how regex degrees into there be dragons. So as you're, you know, in the early days, make sure you have some naming conventions. Make sure you make the alert data easy to parse. Otherwise, you're just kind of adding some pain for yourself later on. Another thing that we found very powerful is building monitor feedback loops. Corey at Stripe gave a great talk about this, his observability talk. As your on-call teams are getting these alerts, right in the alert itself, give them the chance to say, this alert didn't make sense to me. I didn't even know why I got this. Or that was a great alert, because it's not always, you know, the bad stuff. You want to say, this is an example of a really great alert. I'd like more teams to be writing alerts like this. So what we do is in our actual monitor notification, we have these four pre-populated links. It actually just goes to a Google form. So there's a Google form, has a, you know, these kind of questions and answers. This was clear to me why it triggered and immediately actionable. This was clear to me why it triggered, but not immediately actionable. It's clear to me why it triggered, but unclear for me what to do about that. Maybe the runbook wasn't great. And then this is just totally unclear to me. I don't even know why this is happening. So every alert that fires is going to have those four links, and then it's very quick to get feedback. You click on one of those links, and you're just gathering the data, and then on an on-call feedback meeting, you could sort of dive and go back to teams and clarify them. So in some of these cases, the first one is the best case. You know, it's very clear. That's an example that, you know, you might want to highlight for other teams to be using. The second one is where, you know, everything doesn't have to be a high priority alert. Why are you waking people up for disk filling up on a cluster of lots of machines if it's just one machine in the cluster? You know, people clicking that all the time on, you know, that cluster, then in the morning, you could switch that to be low priority, like file a ticket or go to a business hours only queue. Clear to me why it triggered, but unclear what action to take. That's you know, usually a sign that your docs and your runbook or knowledge share is falling apart. Maybe whoever wrote that monitor made perfect sense to them, but if everybody's dinging that and giving feedback, then you know, you should take a review and see what's going on. And then the unclear is, you know, the extreme of that. I highly recommend taking a look at Corey's talk. So as you're growing, you're going to need to add people to your on-call team. If you step back a minute and you sort of, you know, in the field, you kind of get numb and you get used to things. You find these patterns, you get this muscle memory. Going on call, you know, it was scary in the early days. Maybe you're kind of numb to it. If you take a look in a totally different field here, for example, you know, what if I said, hop on this bike, go do a backflip off this cliff? Like, you'd be like, oh, what's going on? Like, no way I'm going to do that. That's the feeling that a lot of times your member's going to feel as the first time you put them on call. You know, we're going to put you on the on-call rotation. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. Like, that doesn't really go over well. What they're seeing is, you know, everybody, you know, triaging these services. It looks like miracles are happening all over the company, and they have no idea, you know, what safeties they know about, how those systems are interacting. Like, how do those people know to triage systems and be an on-call member and be so productive and perform feats like this? Like, how am I going to get to that level? So you need to do things to sort of get people up to that speed. And, you know, and keep the biking thing going. Those guys don't just start jumping off cliffs. They start jumping off into, like, foam pits. Like, oh, this is safe. This is easy. And the exact same thing you need to be doing for your on-call teams. We're going to prepare you to go into the on-call rotation. We're not just going to throw you into it. Here's some of the safeties we have in place. You could do this operation in staging. You could do shadow ops. Here's how to get help. And then start partnering up with people and do game days. You know, the run books are there. Use the run book and break something. Follow it. See what happens. There's great talk from SREcon about this, from Andrew. Highly suggest that talk. So the other thing you do as a safety, document all the things. Documentation is hard, though, right? There's all sorts of documentation. There were great talks this week about documentation. What we've found to work is have our runbooks be in GitHub as Markdown. And it's in a dedicated repo. You could check out the repo. You could do diffs on it. You could run tools that are, you know, show me what changed from the last time I was on call, and provide you a diff of what, you know, how the runbooks have evolved, which services actually changed. And you could also use the issue tracker to, while you're on your on-call week, you know, where are you filing the issue? Like, I'm doing a migration. I started it on this day, but I know I'm going to, you know, switch off call. You know, the issue is a good place to track those details and then close them out. Then for checklists, what we do is our checklists actually will keep them in the monitor notification. You know, you get the alert, have what you actually do be right there with the alert. Don't have to go search a wiki at 3 in the morning, or, you know, go find the piece of useful information. Brendan Gregg gave a great talk about checklists. You know, have all of those things, like the first commands to run to check something, the first commands to verify things. Have that live right alongside the alert notification. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting we found is you have new hires, and, you know, as you grow, some people are going to leave. You know, culture changes, you know, might scare some people away. So you're having this knowledge of how things evolve, sort of move around. And there's no great place to put that. You know, your run books are going to be like, this is the current state of the world. You don't have to. You don't want to read like a huge page and try and figure out, all right, this is current, this is historical. So what we did is we took out and made Google Docs for sort of a history of how the service evolved. And that lets you do things like inline commenting, you know, ask questions directly, sort of see the historical view of, you know, why did this thing evolve this way? Why does it have that scaling pattern? Like, those are things that are useful to have, but, you know, you kind of got to distance it from the run books or the checklist, everything in its right spot for its right context. The other thing we do is weekly on-call handoffs, and they happen the same time, the same place, the same day, each week, regardless of holidays. It happens to be Monday, so in the U.S., there's a lot of times where, you know, the company is off, but whoever's on call, we're still having this meeting. And the reason we do that is, you know, on-call is pretty hard, so, you know, having a handoff meeting could be a sort of an easy thing to be like, nah, we'll do that another time. So being really strict about it, we have muscle memory, we're always going to do it, you know, it never gets forgotten, and we keep it going. The other thing we do is we have a third party run it, so it's not somebody that's coming into the rotation or going out. And that lets us avoid any bias or, you know, keeping things fresh, have a fresh perspective about what's going on. We review the open issues from the GitHub repo for the runbooks. We review the alert patterns, so those sheets I was showing you, we see what the alert data for that week was doing and what the trends are over time. We discuss any pain points, you know, what was the toil this week? Which service was giving you a hard time? And then we take this and we follow up with teams as needed. Like that first slide I showed you where it gets really red, you have a ton of alerts, we might as a company say, you know what, things are not great for the on-call team this week. We're going to take a tech debt week. Like, let's tackle some of these issues, tackle some of the toil. Let's not crush our on-call team. And then we try and know patterns week over week to see which direction things are going. Are services starting to degrade? Are they starting to be more operationally heavy? These are all things that sort of come up in the on-call handoffs, and that's why we put the importance on, you know, running it all the time. The other thing we do for incident response and procedures, we had our own docs for a while. They, you know, it's pretty easy to get them going, but they evolve over time, and you know, there's new situations that come up. But recently, PagerDuty came out and just open sourced their incident response docs. They're great. Everybody's seen this? Show of hands? Yes, I hope? No? Wow, a little under half? Go check it out. They open sourced literally everything they do, and it's a great starting point, regardless of the size of your company. There's things in there that you know, you didn't really think you would have to think about. Like, what happens when you have multiple incidents at the same time? Like, Do you have a thing in place to sort of deal with that? So great start. Take that. It's open source. Make it your own. Customize it for what your company, your culture, where you're at. Highly recommend it. So to kind of wrap it up, so the takeaways, don't forget about your on-call team along the journey. You know, they're working hard. They're down in the salt mines. It's very easy for the company to be making lots of great wins. But who's behind all those great wins? You know, a large part of your organization. Just as you would do with all of your apps, measure and review the alert volume, triage things, you know, find systematic problems. Most importantly, keep your finger on the pulse of how the people are doing. It's not just about the service. How are the people behind your systems doing? Experiment, you know, play with the on-call rotation length, play with the number of people. What are other companies doing? Maybe what works for them, you know, will work for you, or maybe it's not the right time and place. What works today is likely not going to be the thing that works tomorrow. So always be changing your on-call rotation and, you know, how things work. And then on-call pain is rarely spread equally. There's likely teams that are being crushed. Reach out to them. See how you could help. You know, use those numbers to sort of find the pinpoints and proactively reach out to them and see what you could be doing. And then as your security and compliance requirements are increasing, make sure you have your on-call team members as part of those discussions. You know, they have a hard enough time as is. Make sure that they're explaining what they need to do, because in the end, it's, you know, it's a win-win for both sides. You know, common goals, help me and I'll help you. And that is it. Any questions?
If you have any questions, please come up to the microphone for the benefit of the recording. All right. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you.